Hi, everyone, and welcome to AB Conversations, where we will help you CFP your way out of it. A podcast where you get into the minds of a couple certified financial planners on how we think and feel about everyday financial planning questions and what should really matter most to you. A healthier financial life starts now.
Hey, Ben. How you doing? I'm doing very well today, Adam. How are you?
I'm fantastic.
Those of you listening at home, we're laughing because we tried to record this one time already, and we said, this intro is so redundant, it's the same thing over and over again. And here we are, and we hit it a second time, and it was almost identical. So
lovely weather we're having today, right? I like your white shirt.
Insert day of the month here.
Yeah. Happy August, pal.
Yeah.
Oh, man.
Well, in the spirit of what may feel redundant, right, our topic today is a conversation that I feel is evergreen, that it kind of never goes out of style. It will just always be a conversation.
Yeah.
It's my word of the month calendar again.
Way to segue really smoothly into what could be a boring topic. So,
yes.
Way to go.
So,
we
were talking about this topic a couple of weeks ago, right? We have our list of things we want to touch on. And in your words, it's, is cash still king? And coincidentally enough,
or like, queen, yes, or queen, king or queen.
Fair. Is cash still queen? but coincidentally enough, CNBC just happened to post an article yesterday, which was essentially the exact same idea from, you know, a handful of financial advisors, and they were kind of sharing their feedback, and we read through it, and it's like, this pretty much matches exactly with how we would talk about it. So like, that was a sign, let's record this one.
Yeah, so per usual, let's give some context to what do we mean by that in case it's not a familiar phrase. In financial planning, like financial planning 101, one of the most fundamental pieces of advice we have to give is you need to have some sort of cash reserve, some sort of cushion before you would start investing money. But there's also the opposite side of that, which would be people that maybe are really comfortable being, as an investor, we'd say very conservative. Maybe there's some risk aversion there. Maybe it's due to uncertainty where maybe they're holding a lot of cash. So I guess the theme for today should be to talk about what is the right amount? Are we feeling differently about it right now in this environment where the market's been very good? Interest rates are next to zero. So does this change kind of that old adage that cash is king? I'll let you kind of kick it off if you wish.
So the short answer is no, it shouldn't change. And we'll kind of...
or is cash not king?
No, we already established cash is queen. So yeah, market environments...
It is in my house. Yeah.
Definitely. So yeah, the different market environments, whether interest rates are at zero or not, fundamentally, from a financial planning perspective, and you kind of touched on this, right? It's the cash component. We'll kind of talk about the role that we kind of see that play. In our world, the role of the cash reserve or just having that cushion, its role is to be that safety net, not to grow. So like that number one needs to be just resetting that expectation on what you should or what someone should want to see out of their cash.
Yep.
And that it truly is the emergency or opportunity reserve and not necessarily something that should be invested. But I'll throw it to you. See what you think.
I was just going to say, then let's define that for certain people that I think are kind of in that asset accumulation phase of their life. They're working towards some longer term goals, probably aren't retired yet. I don't know, at bare bones minimum, 3 months of your expenses. We'd probably be more comfortable with 6 months. If you're a one income household, maybe you have variable compensation, right? You're not just straight salary. You know, maybe you push those things. When you get into retirement, and maybe I can throw this back to you, we almost like to see it be a little bit more. Maybe it's 12 months. And I don't want to say of your expenses that at that time, maybe it's what you need to pull from your savings. You need to have at least a year of that. And we would say that because of market turbulence that can come at any time.
are two distinct kind of ways of looking at this, and it really is segmented by just stage of life, right? While someone is still working, has an income, that 3 to 6 month of expenses, I think is again, kind of our standard. But when you get to retirement, that same 3 to 6 months doesn't necessarily apply theoretically in retirement. If you're over the age of 62, you probably have Social Security income at some point. Maybe there's pension income. So instead of just looking at it from a pure, here are my expenses, let's hold that much cash, it's what is that gap? And I think you said that, between my expenses and the fixed income that I know if I do nothing different, I'm going to have this amount coming in. It's that gap that we would use as kind of that that 1 year number, right? So if that gap is $5,000, multiply by 12, then you need $60,000 in cash that we would say is kind of a minimum floor.
And I'm glad you said minimum. If people are a little bit more comfortable holding more cash, right? They don't see that as opportunity lost, but they see that as a comfort zone. Sure, you can stretch that. And I think the whole point for us is using that as at least a baseline is it does hopefully give yourself permission to withstand market volatility because you're not spending from assets that are at risk. You're spending from a cash reserve. Hopefully there's interest, dividends, you know, gains that may be flowing back through. We call it our three bucket theory. But I think it was really important to say that's a minimum, but then there also needs to be like a maximum because at some point it is opportunity loss.
Yeah. So how would you define holding too much cash?
Great question. I think it's a byproduct right now of the inflationary environment and maybe how that check is recreated. So let's just start with inflation. If you're not making anything on cash and inflation is picking up, meaning the cost of goods and services that you consume are certainly going up over time, then too much cash means you're just safely losing money.
Yeah.
I guess the other way to look at it, and I'll ask you to add some color here, you were talking about recreating that paycheck in retirement. Maybe it's Social Security, maybe it's pension. Great. Those things historically do not have cost of living adjustments that will go up with your healthcare expenses, that will go up with your utility bills. So if you do not have some sort of investable assets or savings that is keeping up with those expenses and you're really just relying on those fixed paychecks, then again, over time, you're not going to be able to keep up with inflationary pressure.
Yeah. So you kind of touched on it, the three bucket theory. And essentially do we have time? Should I break this down as quickly as possible?
Do it.
So yes, it is that first bucket is the cash bucket. This is what led us to this conversation, right? How much cash should we hold? And it's that 1 to 2 years, again, depending on preference, so that you know, if I need to pay bills, I'm not having to sell from anything that I own from an investment standpoint. I have it in cash. It's liquid. It's there. It's not going to fluctuate. We would say then that middle bucket is anywhere from 3 to 7 years of whatever that need is, right? That gap from your expenses and fixed income in a very conservative investment position. Yep. Bonds, things that are fixed. Maybe it's dividend paying stocks. They may fluctuate, but you're at least getting paid to own them. And then you said it, right? That conveyor belt, whatever that's kicking off can go to help replenish the cash that you're spending. And then the third bucket is we call like 7+ years in horizon. And that can be stocks, right? So that over time, stocks have proven to be able to keep up with inflation and then some. So that if you know, or if someone knows that they have essentially 7 years worth of their income need in retirement covered from either cash or a very conservative investment standpoint, if the market goes down March of 2020, COVID happens, the market's down 30%, we would hope that they don't feel stressed to have to liquidate their risky investments. They can let them recover because they have well more than enough cash to kind of see them through a volatile period.
And I think that goes back to why cash is still king. You said it well at the beginning. If it's not paying anything, it's not paying anything, but that's not its first objective. Yeah. And I would say the timelines that you just throw out there, we didn't make these things up as like, oh, well, let's just pick some numbers, 3 to 7 years, yeah. You know, 7 years plus. Most market downturns historically last 18 months from where they were at their peak to, you know, dropping to the bottom. We've seen those things happen much quicker in recent history. Yeah. But again, we're being conservative here. If you hold 12 to 18 months, maybe 2 years in that cash bucket, you set it well. The whole point is that you give yourself permission to wait things out. And most market cycles, right? The full business cycle is 3 to 7 years. Hence, let's keep 3 to 7 years in that middle bucket. You know, 3 on the low end, maybe if you're a little more aggressive, if you're more conservative, 7 years. But I think that comes back to the key point here. If people are holding too much cash because they're looking at that as it's what I'm comfortable with, you probably are missing opportunities over time.
Yep. Agreed.
I had another thought. Okay. And I think this comes down to individual situations yet again. We're saying a minimum if you're working, you know, 3 to 6 months, and then in retirement, maybe 12 months.
Yeah.
But I think we got to add to that. I think part of planning is kind of recognizing what could be coming around the corner, what you do want coming around the corner. And if there is money that you're earmarking to be spent, that's really got to be in addition to a cash reserve, right?
Yeah, that's a great, 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 great point, Ben. We've certainly had those conversations. And I was going to say, it's more with younger clients, right? If they're saving for a specific goal, whether it's, you know, a new home purchase, or even for our retired clients, right? Saving for a project around the house, putting things through college. I have three of those things at home that are coming up on that very quickly. But yeah, that's a great point. So it's not just the short-term cash reserve need that, you know, if I lose my job, I need to fill an income gap. But yeah, if there are projects that are being, you know, that are upcoming, and you know you're going to spend this money, you would hate, same scenario, right? You would hate to have that money invested in the stock market, see the market drop, and now it's time to fund this project, and now my $20,000 is now worth $15,000, and now feel like you're selling at a loss, or you have to delay the project that you've had planned.
So let's give two more examples to this that I think would really tie our conversations together. It's not uncommon, like you said, for somebody to come to us and say, here's what I want to do. I have this opportunity. I want to spend this money. And if they don't have enough set aside where they would actually be cutting into that cash reserve, we'd probably say don't do it.
Yeah.
Right? Because you really don't want to put yourself in a spot where you don't have that cash reserve at all, that you've liquidated everything. Home purchase would be a great example, right? You can't go too far into the hole on that. You need to have cash. Cash is king in that situation. We say the same thing in retirement. If somebody doesn't have like a cash reserve and all of their wealth is in their retirement funds,
yeah,
that's kind of dangerous too. Because if you do have that emergency or opportunity, now do you not only maybe need to go in investments, but they may be taxable investments. So I think there's absolutely multiple reasons that we say cash is still king, having that cash reserve and then making sure you earmark whatever else you think you might be spending money on. You know, you got projects around the house, you know, you want to take that vacation, whatever it is, that money stays in cash too.
Yep. Yeah. So now we're at the part of the podcast where we say everything we've just said, general advice, but the answer for your specific situation is always, it depends, right? Everything we've kind of talked about, there's so many different caveats here and there. It really is specific to an individual situation. So if you have questions, reach out to us. That's why we're here. Let's walk through it together.
Way to wrap it up.
Okay, great.
Yes, cash is still king.
And queen.
Just don't hold too much. All right. Have a good week.
Very good. Thank you. Good job.
Catch you next time around.
See you out there.
Hey everyone, Adam and I really appreciate you tuning in. Please note that the opinions we voiced in the show are for general information only and are not intended to provide specific recommendations for any individual. To determine which strategies or investments may be most appropriate for you, consult with your attorney, your accountant, and financial advisor or tax advisor prior to making any decisions or investing. Thanks for listening.